Legendary Portland writer Catherine Dunn died last week at the age of 70. Dunn was one of the foremost boxing writers in the nation, publishing columns in Willamette Week, the Scanner newspaper, and PDXS. She also wrote for the New York Times, Playboy, and Vogue, but Dunn is perhaps best known for her novel Geek Love, a finalist for the National Book Award in 1989 and a much-read and loved book forever after. Geek Love's main character, Olympia Banuski, works at a radio station not unlike KABU Community Radio, which is no coincidence. Dunn herself was a volunteer at KABU during the 1970s, reading stories for the program Gremlin Time. Dunn took the pseudonym Red Ryder for the show. Her Gremlin Time producer, Matthew Clark, is fortunately still with us, and we're fortunate to have Matthew in our studio right now to talk about Catherine Dunn. Matthew, thanks for coming in tonight.
Hey.
Actually sticking around after today's one-day Stamfulla show, so it wasn't too much of a
fortunate to have Fortunato.
All right. First of all, how did you and Catherine Dunn meet?
Okay, so we were at the downtown station, which is down on Yamhill between 2nd and 1st, or front and 1st, actually, on the second floor. I had come in an afternoon, I don't know which day of the week, and I had sort of known Catherine. I'd seen her around town. And here she was talking with one of the program directors about taking over this show that was on Saturday mornings called Myths and Music, which was a story show, and she was going to read the stories. Now, for a few years at that point, starting at the Belmont station when I had started here, like around 76, 75, I had been doing late night radio, and I would just read stories like around 4:30 in the morning. So I would go through novels like King Rat or The Long Goodbye or The Big Sleep. I mean,
just live, not pre-recorded with sound
exactly.
effects.
Exactly. Just it was late, and I just read the book, and you just choose a nice book that's written well enough to read aloud. And so I heard that she was going to be do the reading show. And I thought, well, I could do this. And so I just volunteered right there because they said, well, we need somebody to produce this. And I said, well, I'll do that. And so we hit it off really well. And we did it as Myths and Music for a while. And then I suggested maybe we need to change the name of it. So Catherine came up with the name Gremlin Time.
Did she explain why she chose that or?
I didn't ask, but it must have something to do with Roald Dahl, who created Gremlin, or the term Gremlin.
I'm thinking like the Andy Devine show with Froggy the Gremlin, but that goes back to the
50s. Yeah, there you go. She probably seen it. But and so I came up with the name Red Ryder because she had told me that she and her brothers out there in Taggart, where she grew up, they would play that Cowboys and Indians sort of thing, and she would be Red Ryder. And so I thought, well, Red Ryder, we'll just do that. And she came up with the name Fortunato, which I still use today. And so it was a 30-minute show. We would read short stories. So we would pour she'd bring some in, and I'd bring some in. She always brought in the very literary good ones, and I just would bring in the trash story.
Could you give us an example of the literary and the trash?
She's the one who said, well, let me see. There was this Somerset Maugham story called The Three Fat Women of Antibes, which has the beautiful line that says, she called her a name that women seldom use to refer to one another with affection. And then there was like a bunch of others, but I would like bring in like a Heinlein story or some other science fiction-y story that I'd come across, which I thought was well written. We did Murders in the Rue Morgue. You know, it's a story that people talk about.
Edgar Allan Poe.
But to actually hear it and to actually hear some short story by a famous writer. I never got to do The Singleman by Dickens, but that one works really well. Dashiell Hammett. We did a James Bond, an Ian Fleming short story, From a View to a Kill. It's very well written. And a bunch of other science fiction ones, Without a Thought by Fred Saberhausen, and a bunch of others. There's The Man Who Traded in Elephants. I think that's a Heinlein story.
And were these read live by Catherine in the studio? Or
we would read them. She'd come in the week. And then we used the half-track machine. So I'd record her on the left side of the half-track. And then I would mix in on the right side using turntables and other reel-to-reel machines.
This is very old technology.
It was very old technology. I'd have my hand on the start machine. I'd have it on the turntable, my foot doing some other thing. And I would just kind of throw them together and then mix the two channels down, mixing in some more sound effects. And it worked really well. I mean, we did the Scott Farkas and the Murderous Mariah and Gene Shepherd. And I remember dropping in the storm movement from Beethoven's six, the pastoral, the one that's used in Fantasia.
So that's where you were starting the sound effects and some musical background for her.
Unfortunately, I was probably playing them too loud, but her reading was really good. And
did she just sit down and read it cold? Did she rehearsed?
She really ruined me for that, because I expect other people should be able to do that. But she was really prepared. She'd cut the thing down. She'd cut it to length. And she was ready to go. She'd sit down and ready to go. And like with the Ian Fleming story that takes place in the French countryside, just to be able to give the names properly without hesitation. And that was very good. And, you know, in just the recent couple of weeks, we were talking about her in different articles I've read. Just she was born like probably 1945, right around in there.
Yeah, she died at 70, so yeah.
Yeah, and so, well, you think about that. I mean, here she is as a kid in 50s Portland. She's in the 60s, right there. She went to Reed College. And then by the later part of the 60s, she'd moved to Europe with her boyfriend and her husband. And they traveled around Europe, and then she eventually ended up back here in the 70s. And that was before she wrote Geek Love. She'd already written two other novels.
Yeah, Geek Love was 1989, actually, or that's when it was published. Matthew, was Catherine involved in the editing and the production at all, or did she just do the reading? You recorded it, and then you kind of polished it up, produced it, and then aired it.
But, I mean, she did a lot of work that I didn't see, because she edited it down to size. And then she would do some stories, which I kind of found out later, which I don't think she particularly liked. I've been playing the Christmas stories by Tolkien. And when I like offered some to her one time, she said, well, I never liked those. But it was one I played all the time. And she's does a fantastic reading on it. And I think she was writing Geek Love around that time that we were doing Gremlin Time. So we were doing it downtown. We were still doing it when we moved here. She would read in this room. I'd be in the other room.
Oh, this very room here.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she read in here, and she'd come in totally prepared. And I've been able to, luckily I kept the recordings without the music side. And so I just have the clean recordings. And so I keep presenting them, which I will do tonight. I did this afternoon on the Monday Sampler. And, tonight, as I was saying, I'm thinking the one with the guy that's eaten by the cats is always a nice. I try not to play that too often.
But. I should also mention, Matthew, that Gremlin Time is hosted by your alter ego, Fortunato.
Yeah.
And Fortunato was actually a character in Geek Love, one of the Olympia Biznewski clan, Olympia's brother.
I wonder what the thing was like, because I'll have to admit I have never read the book.
Okay.
Because like I said, I read trash, and so I didn't read her book.
Well, Heinlein and Jack London, not necessarily trash. A little different, though. What was Catherine like off the air? Did you hang out at all?
Oh, yeah.
Go for a coffee or beer?
A few, yeah, we did a few of that, yeah. As people were saying, she was so gracious and always nice, courteous to a fault, and I guess as the saying goes. She was raising her little boy, Eli, who's now grown, and he would like be from her and her ex-husband at that point. She lived up in Northwest Portland. She was working at the Stepping Stone Cafe, which was on 24th and it's Overton or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a little building with a little cafe, and then there was a beauty salon next to it. She worked there.
And then she was a bartender at night, I read.
And it was that classic Portland thing that you could have a couple of jobs and do a pretty good living and didn't impede on your life that much. And just both up there in Northwest Portland, you could just walk to them. And we walked all over the place. We'd walk downtown, we'd walk up into the West Hills and stuff.
Did she ever talk about boxing? It seemed like her main passion, certainly as a topic of writing.
Well, she certainly got me interested in it afterwards. This was kind of after we were doing the show, and she started doing the regular columns. I mean, boy, she was writing for Ring magazine. I've seen, like, that's not everybody does that. And she would cover the local fighting. But there was a real scene with that at that time. There was a group of fighters that were being trained here, and they would get a bunch of matches. Sometimes they'd be good. I mean, one time somebody showed up with a whole bunch of boxers, and they were totally just amateurs off the street. I mean, they would get one punch and they were down. It was like, why did they even bring these people in? Because the guys here were, I mean, for them it wasn't very good.
But she was there to
she wrote about it. And they were at the Marriott Hotel, and then out at the old it used to be called the Convention Center out and towards Jansen Beach. But yeah, her, not only the boxing articles, but the slice. That was an amazing, that was something that you looked forward to every
week. In Willamette Week, her column.
In Willamette Week. And it just, she answered all sorts of questions. And
I remember that, actually.
Yeah.
Why did she leave Gremlin Time? Stop doing the episodes.
I think we just kind of got tired of it. We'd been doing it every week for about 5 years, 6 years, not getting paid. And she just had other things that she needed to do. The shows were good enough that I just kept doing it for about a year or so afterwards by just re-airing ones that she's done.
Oh, I didn't know that it ever stopped because it's back on the air now and has been for years.
Yeah, I was able to come in on the radio drama section at 11 o'clock, and I had like these clean recordings of hers, and so I've been able to remaster her readings and get the levels right and work things a little bit better on hers, and I've recorded a bunch of new stuff with other readers and myself doing reading. And her reading, I've really helped my own reading improve a lot.
And she has a marvelous reading voice. As you mentioned, Matthew, she'll be on tonight on Gremlin Time at 11 o'clock.
Yes, according to her, smoking really makes your voice interesting.
Oh, we should all try that. But also, that leads to a kind of a shorter lifespan generally, so maybe not such a good idea. One last question, Matthew. Do you have any plans to adapt Geek Love for the radio? That would be a tough one.
It certainly would be a tough one. For a novel, I really prefer short stories, because it's kind of self-contained and you get to the point. A lot of things, we always look for something that sounded good being read aloud. And not that hers wouldn't be sounding good, but it's just really long. And a novel, you got to live with a novel for like a short story, boom, 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 you're in, you're out. You know, for an hour thing, I think that works pretty good.
It required a serialization or something, you know, multiple episodes.
Right, and you'd have to be in a spot where people were going to tune in each week to catch it. It'd have to be a weekly presentation. You know, if you're ever looking for really good radio drama, try the BBC 4 Extra. You can find it on their website. They've got some great stuff that they've done on that.
Oh, well, thanks very much, Matthew. That was Matthew Clark, host of the Monday Sampler and producer of Gremlin Time. As we mentioned, we have a Gremlin Time tonight at 11 with Catherine Dunn doing the reading here on KBOO. Matt was kind enough to share his memories of the late, great Portland writer Catherine Dunn, who died last week at the age of 70.